الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن يشكر لله صدق الله العظيم. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif that I have recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes mention of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. Mufassirin have written that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed him with a very, very lengthy lifespan. He was living in the time of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ahmad Sa'id Dehlawi rahmatullah alayhi. He says that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with the company of 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So can we imagine what he learned from the company of 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was once giving a bayan. So whilst he was speaking, one person passed by. So he told Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that you and I, we're grazing the sheep, we're grazing the goats. Yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevated you so high, this is your martaba, this is your status today. How did you achieve this? So he says, the first thing is sidqul lisan, that I never spoke lies. Whenever I spoke the truth. And the second thing he mentioned, al-ijtinabu anil kalam al-lahwi, that I never engage in futile talk. I abstain from futile talk. He says, on the basis of this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed me with this great wisdom. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that he was given the choice that do you want to be the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or do you want to be a wise person? So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam chose that he wanted hikmat, he wanted to be a wise person. And this is what majority of the Mufassirin say, that he was not a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he was asked the question that why is it that you want to be a wise person? So he said, if this responsibility of Nubuwwat was placed upon me, that I was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala made me the Nabi, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have made it easy for me to fulfill this responsibility. But when I was given the choice, then I did not want to take that responsibility upon me, so I chose that I rather be a wise person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with a lot of wisdom. It is mentioned he was a dark complex, a person that was dark in complexion, and there were three such people in the ummah that were outstanding. The one was Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala, the other was Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the third was a person by the name of Muhajja. He was a freed slave of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So these were three people that were outstanding in the ummah. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, after spending time with so many Anbiya alayhi salam, and having so much of knowledge, prior to the coming of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to issue fatawa as well. But when Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam came, then Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he stopped issuing fatawa. So he says, in this lifetime of mine, there are eight great lessons that I have learned. In this ayat, I'll first just translate it very briefly, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتِينَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ, that most certainly we had granted Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam wisdom. Our Hazrat explained, he says, what is wisdom? What is referred to as hikmah over here? So he says, number one, hikmah refers to ilm sahih, that a person should have correct knowledge. Today, if a person wants to ask a question, all that he has to do, he goes onto the internet, he goes onto Google. So one alim was explaining, he says that when we go onto Google, especially on the Islamic website, on the Dini website, so he says that on the first page, all the websites that come up on the first page, he says those websites, they are actually controlled by the Jews, by the Shias, but by the Gumra Firqa, by the deviated sect. And he says, normally when we go onto the website, the first page that comes up, he says, that is the page where we will go and search. We won't go onto the second and the subsequent pages. We will normally search on the first page. So a person blessed with correct knowledge is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So ilm sahih. And then fahm sahih. The second meaning is this, that a person has the correct understanding as well. As I explained once, an example, he says they were in Makkah Sharif. So he says, whilst we're in Makkah Sharif, we're traveling, we're in the taxi. So the taxi driver, he had the music on. So we told him that switch off that music. So he read the ayat of Quran to prove that he is justified. And he said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, then don't forget your share of the dunya. Meaning that this entertainment also is your share of dunya, so there's no problem with it. Whereas this ayat of the Quran was revealed, or this ayat of the Quran was quoted when the people of Qarun, they had advised Qarun that this wealth that Allah Ta'ala had given you, so much of wealth, that through this, seek your akhirat. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Majority of the Mufassirin say that don't forget your share of this dunya, that wealth which Allah Ta'ala has given you, that whatever you will spend in the path of Allah, that will be for your akhirat. And others have mentioned that don't forget your share of this dunya, that don't forget you have your family also. You have your needs also. You have to pay a municipal bill at the end of the month. Perhaps you got rental to pay end of the month. So give a little bit also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take care of your family as well. In the 11th para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those three sahaba that were unable to participate in the battle of Tabuk. So it is mentioned eventually after 50 days their tawbah was accepted. And when their tawbah was accepted, Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik, Hazrat Murara ibn Rabi and Hilal ibn Umayyah, when their tawbah was accepted radiallahu anhum, so they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what actually held us back, that we were unable to go in your path, it is all this wealth. They brought all the wealth and they came. And they said, all this wealth, now we're giving it out in sadaqah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I won't accept all. Only up to one third of your wealth, this is what I will accept. And the remainder of your wealth, this you take, you have your family also, fulfill the needs of your family. So here also Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, that don't forget your share in this world. So see how he misquoted the ayat of Quran. So after having the correct knowledge, a person must have the correct understanding as well. And after having the correct understanding, after fahm sahih, then a person must make amal, correct amal on that knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed a person with. So nevertheless, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that 8 lessons that I had learned. And the first lesson that he learned, or the first lesson that he shared with us, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you commence your salah, then watch what is the condition of your heart, protect your heart at that time, which we do in the Anwarus Salah, which as the Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi very, very beautifully explained, that this salah is such an ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the ibadat of all the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in that salah. And he gives an example, he says, like for example, the trees that are there. So the ibadat of the trees is qiyam, and the ibadat of the buildings, that is the qiyam. And he says that the four-legged animals that you find, that the ibadat of the four-legged animals, this is ruku. They in ruku all the time. And he says the insects that are crawling on the ground, their ibadat is sajda. And the mountains that are around us, all the mountains, they in the qada posture. And the malaika, some of them are making the tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the malaika of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are pure. So that is their ibadat. And he says the sun, the moon, etc., all this is moving. At what speed? And he says, in the 2 rakats of salah that you are performing, the ibadat of all the makhluk of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala you got. Sometimes you in qiyam, sometimes you in ruku, sometimes you in sajda, sometimes you in qada, sometimes you moving. So all that ibadat a person has got when he performs 2 rakats of salah. And then similarly he says that all the fundamentals of deen, this is also found in the salah of a person. In the salah, a person, zakat is also found, because a person has to make wudu. So he says that the water that you use to make wudu, a person has to purchase that water. So here a person spends in the path of Allah Ta'ala. A person has to have appropriate clothing. The clothing also a person has to purchase. He says similarly over here, sawm is also found. That fasting is found. That a person when before salah, there were so many things that were permissible to eat. But the moment he said Allahu Akbar, now he's not permitted to eat that food anymore. Similarly in that salah of a person, hajj is found. A person faces in the direction of Kaaba Sharif, Makkah Sharif. When a person says Allahu Akbar, it is like a person tying his ihram. A person that is standing, it is as though he is standing on the plains of Arafat. So he says Hajj is also found. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says I'tikaf is also found. He says that before Salah, a person could move. But he says now that you entered Salah, you can't move from your place also. Like a mu'taqif, when he comes into the masjid, he says, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says, now he has to remain within the boundaries of the masjid. So this is such a great ibadat of Allah. So when this ibadat is so great, how important it is that a person has to protect his thoughts all the time. That I'm concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama mentioned that there are two categories of musallis. They say the first category of musallis are those people that these people, the moment they commence their salah, now they're thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they keep that concentration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lengthy duration. This is one category of musallis. And their martaba, their status is very high. And then you get a second category of musallis. So the second category are those musallis like you and I, that when we start our salah, then immediately the mind drifts away. Now a person, his mind will go to his business, or a person is thinking of some holiday, or have to pick up one parcel at certain place. So he starts thinking about all this the moment he commences salah. So he says this type of a musalli, when his mind starts drifting away, all that he has to do is bring your thoughts back into salah. Don't entertain that thought. Don't drive on that thought. But the moment you become conscious, now bring your thought back. So some ulama say that the second category, second group, they say, some say that they are equal to the first group because they have to make so much of sacrifice. And others say no, because of the sacrifice, they are even more superior than the first group. So much of sacrifice has to be made that they are even superior than the first group because their mind goes away. This is the Rakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, we learn from our Hazrat. The Rakim Sahib Rahmatullahi says, Dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. That for the person to be absorbed, his heart to be totally in salah, this is not what is required. This is not farz. He says, Dil ko lagana faraz hai. For a person now to bring his mind into salah, this is what is required. Hazrat gives an example, like a child. You take him to a supermarket, you take him to a shop, the mother goes with that child. So now you come to that aisle where there's toys. So what that child does, every time the child gets the opportunity, that child runs now to one toy. So the mother grabs the child and pulls the child back. Now the child will run in another direction. And the mother again will pull the child. So exactly the same way, the moment the thought of a person drifts away, now bring the thought back into salah. And in this way a person should carry on. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi has mentioned, he said, for 60 years I taught Quran, for 60 years Hadith, I taught Fiqh. And he says, after 60 years, there are those occasions when I am performing salah. He says, I get stuck also. I make an error also. He says, but after 60 years of teaching, I still have to go back to my kitab. I have to open my kitab. And I have to check, where have I gone wrong? He says, but I see many, many people, they're just performing salah. He says, but it means absolutely nothing to them. They're just continuing with their salah. So this is the first advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you commence your salah, then watch your heart and watch your thoughts. What is the condition of my heart? The second advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned that when you sit down to eat, then he says, watch your throat. To make hifazat of your halq, make hifazat of your throat. So here, what is meant that take care of your throat? So some ulama have given the explanation. They say that if the stomach of a person is in order, then the entire body of a person will be in order now. If the stomach is perfect, it is correct, then a person won't have any illnesses. His entire body will be okay. But if the stomach is not in order, then they say that the body of a person won't be in order. That is why Shariat has suggested, or Shariat has advised us, that what type of a diet we should have. That when a person sits down to eat, that one third should be for food, and one third should be for water, and one third should be left for air. Unfortunately, we go right up to the throat and beyond that also. So Shariat has taught us how to eat. Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that when a person sits down to eat, then he says that whilst you are hungry, at that time, then get up. Not that when you're full, whilst you are still hungry, get up. But other ulama say that no, when the thought comes to you, now when you're eating and the thought comes to you, that have I eaten enough or must I take the next serving? Have I eaten enough or should I take one more serving? He says the moment this thought comes to you, so he says, they say at that time a person should stop eating. Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq, the Sahib of P, he's in his, I think, late 70s, and up to now Mawlana is still very, very fit. Where he stays is right in the bottom of the hill. And Mawlana's masjid, where the masjid is, right on the top. So he walks up 5 times a day, he walks to the masjid. And still very, very fit, approximately 18, 20 hours a day, Mawlana writes. He's busy with his work. So once he was asked the question that how is it that a person remains fit, that a person remains healthy? What type of a diet should a person have? So just two things he mentioned. He said that stay away from all these commercial biscuits that you get. He said stay away from biscuits. And the second thing he said that stay away from chocolate. He says if these two things a person abstains from, he says a person will remain healthy. So this is one explanation of this advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that watch what you eat and a person will remain healthy. And the second meaning to this advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is that watch what you eat. Is that from halal or what you are eating is this haram? So this also we can break it up into two parts. The first part is the ingredients of the food that we're eating. Is the ingredients halal or not halal? One of our friends, he explained to us once when we were at his place, he said there is a particular lady in our locality, a Dini lady. So she told this person's wife, she says that every day we have to put food on the table. So she says that I can't every day be preparing. So she says I just go out and I buy. Whether it is halal or is haram, it doesn't matter. Even if it's haram, I have to put it on the table. So this is how people have become totally negligent in regards to halal. One halal authorizing body, they were asked the question. They said, you issue a halal certificate. But then after some time, after 2 years, after 3 years sometimes, or after 6 months, many a times you withdraw their certification. You tell them that, you know what, because you'll be caught out, you'll have some haram ingredients or some haram meat or whatever it might be, that certification is now withdrawn. But when do your inspectors go? So they say, our inspectors, maybe they're going every 2 weeks or every month. So he says, now after perhaps every month he is going. So for 1 month, that person was selling haram. But because that certification, that sign was over there, people were buying from that company. So weren't that Muslim people now eating haram for 1 month? So what about that? So they couldn't give an answer to this. They said that what was within our control, that is what we had done. So Hazrat has mentioned that many a time we just rely on the halal board. Hazrat explained, he gave an incident. He said that in one place, one chicken outlet. So he said that these people had gone there one evening to buy something. It was a Saturday evening or whatever it might be. So they had gone out to buy something. So while they were waiting, the order was being prepared. So while they were waiting for the order, so the halal sign was on top. So the cashier was asked, what's the meaning of this halal? So that cashier, he responded, the cashier said that it means peri-peri, something that is very, very spicy. So he said that is the meaning of halal. Another person, as I mentioned, he was going in the apartheid era. He was going through the Free State. And he says, whilst he was traveling through the Free State, this person, he passed by one shop, so they had a halal board. So he said, in this time, in the Free State, where it's difficult to get halal food, but there is a board saying halal here. So he went inside, so he saw an Afrikaner person there. Whatever he was selling, biltong or whatever it might be. So he asked that person, that sign that you got on your window there, what is that sign? What's the meaning of that? He says, I don't know what it means. But he says, from the time I put it, my business has doubled or my business has tripled. It works like a taweez over here. So this is their understanding of what they call halal. That just put up one sign and a person, he walks in there and then a person purchases whatever he wants, thinking that it is halal. And many a time later on he finds out that what I have been eating was not halal. So if one morsel of haram went into the stomach of a person, then we find that the ibadat of a person is then destroyed for 40 days. When Hajjaj bin Yusuf, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, has written this incident, he said when Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he became the governor of Kufa. So at that time, there were three mustajabud dawah that were residing in Kufa. They were living in the caves in the mountains of Kufa. And when any oppressive ruler had come over Kufa, then these mustajabud dawah would immediately make dua. And through their dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove these people. But when Hajjaj bin Yusuf became the governor, when he came into rule, then he invited all of them. He invited all the people. He gave them a dawah. And after feeding everyone, then he said that now you may make whatever dua you want to make. Your dua will not be accepted. Why? I have fed you people with haram. And really, thereafter Hajjaj bin Yusuf, how much of zulm, how much of oppression. It is mentioned Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he had killed many, many great people. And amongst his last victims was Hazrat Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah. After which he didn't even live very long. He was a tabi'i. And for two weeks after killing Hazrat Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah, would come in the dream of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And he will grip him. And he will ask him that, O enemy of Allah, that what guna did I do that you killed me, that you took my life? And he used to have these nightmares and he used to wake up. And 2 weeks after that he passed away. But look, when he fed them with haram, those people that say mustajabu dawat, even their dua was not accepted. The riwayat comes in Muslim Sharif, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person, he undertakes a lengthy journey. And not the journey of this time. In today's time, a person gets into a flight, in 7 hours he's in Jeddah. A person wants to go to Durban, 45 minutes, 55 minutes, he's in Durban. In a car, 5.5, 6 hours, he's there comfortably, no problem. But of those days when people would have to travel through the jungle, through the desert, and a person when he reaches his destination, then his clothes is also soiled, his hair is also disheveled. So Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned a person is a musafir, he undertakes a journey, and his hair is disheveled, there's dust on his clothing. In one riwayat it is mentioned that the dua of three people are never rejected. One is a person that's a musafir because of the difficulty that he goes through. The second person is the dua that a parent makes for his child. The dua that the parents make for the children, that dua is never rejected. It is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's why Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah also writes in the Fazail of Ramadan. He says that many a times in Ramadan when the mother is preparing the meal, she is busy at that time, then the children come and they trouble the mother. So she says at that time sometimes the mothers get frustrated, and in frustration, sometimes they say some words of badwa for the child. So she said, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that we should be very careful that later on we see the consequence of this. And then the mother is crying. But little did she realize that it was her words that has landed her in this problem. So this is the second dua. And the third dua is the dua of an oppressed person, a mazloom person. Even though that person may be a kafir, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. That fear and stay away from the badwa of a oppressed person. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Between him and between Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. When he makes that dua, when that ah comes out of his heart, then that dua is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one is this musafir. So the riwayat of Muslim Sharif says that this person, he undertakes this journey, and due to virtue of being a musafir, he picks up his hand. And then he says, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram, fa anna yustajabu li dhali. That the food that the man had eaten, that food was haram. The drink that the person had had, that drink was haram. The clothing that the man is wearing, that is haram. How can the dua of such a person be accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? In another hadith it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Sahaba that on the day of Qiyamah there will be those people that will come with a lot of ibadat. So much ibadat that the ibadat will be equivalent to the mount of Tihama, which is a lofty mountain. So much of ibadat. But these people, the ibadat will be like particles of dust. It will be completely destroyed. And they will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, so much of ibadat that these people have carried out. But in spite of this, this is what is going to be done with the ibadat, and they're going to be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. What is the reason for this? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that they did not care whether halal came their way, whether haram came their way, whatever came, they went with it. This is the consequence of this. So the food that a person eats, it has to be halal. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua. Allah Ta'ala makes me mustajab ud-da'wat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Anas radiallahu ta'ala, atib mat'amak. That the food that you eat, make sure it's wholesome. Make sure that food is halal. And due to being eating halal food, takun mustajab ud-da'wat. Automatically you will become mustajab ud-da'wat. So this was the advice given by Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So either the ingredient of the food that we eat, the ingredient is not permissible. Or the other part is this, that the income of a person, that is not permissible. So when the income of a person is not correct, then also there's haram that is going into the stomach of a person. The Khulafa of Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi and the Murideen of Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi, they were very, very particular in this regard, especially when they would be traveling, etc. It is mentioned regarding Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi that on one occasion he was traveling from Tanabon, and he was going down to Lucknow. And on the way from Tanabon to Lucknow, Saharanpur comes in the way. So it is mentioned that the sugar cane of Saharanpur, this was of a very superior nature type of a sugar cane you could get in Saharanpur. So anyway, it was a good gift also that people used to take. So he stopped in Saharanpur and he got some sugar cane. So the Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi took this sugar cane and he went to get it weighed. So he was a government official. Everyone knew Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi. So the person that was there, he said, is this something to be weighed? So just take it and get onto the train and continue with your journey. So Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi said, no, when I'm going to get onto the train, I'm going to have problems. Because the checker is going to come, or the conductor, whoever it might be, and they're going to question me that you are overweight. Have you paid for this extra weight over here? So this person said that, don't worry, whoever the checker is going to be, I'll tell him that to let you go. Everything will be okay. So he said, but this train goes up to Ghaziabad, and then it stops in Ghaziabad. Then another checker is going to come in, and he's going to be responsible. So what about that? So he says, then I'll tell this checker that when he changes his shift, then he must just tell that checker that don't worry about this person, let him go through. So he says, then what about that when we come to the next stop? So he says, the final stop is Lucknow, and that is where you are going to get off. So he says, no, I got to go one stage ahead of this. So he said, where do you have to go? So he says that I have to go to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to question me, that why didn't you pay that for that extra luggage that you carried on that railway train that you were traveling on? So he says, what answer am I going to give to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? On another occasion, Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi is mentioned, one person came to the Khanqa. So he came with his son this time. So Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi asked him, he said that you brought your son and you came to the Khanqa. He said, but the son of yours, when you brought him, did you pay the full ticket or did you pay half ticket? I think the rule in India at that time was that if a child was under 12, then he pays half. And if he was over 12, then he had to pay the full ticket. So Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi asked him, did you pay half or did you pay full? How Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi made Islam? So this person, he said, Hazrat, this child is over 12. But if you look at him, you look at the size of him, then he looks that as though he is under 12 years old. So therefore I paid half the ticket. So Mawla Thanwi rahmatullahi became upset. He says that if you can receive the railway company, then in the matters of deen, what is difficult for you to deceive? So he says that khilafat that I give you, I take my khilafat back also. And many a times this happened that a person, he goes to the zoo, a person goes to some park, he has to pay the fee. So the children are just pushed in, half price, just pay half price and go in. Or a person is staying at some hotel, and there in the hotel they say that children under 12 free. So the child is over 12, but we say no, he's under 12, so he will stay for free. So they mentioned that that amount of money that a person has saved, for example, he's supposed to pay for the ticket 10 rand, and a person now paid for the under 12 is 5 rand, he paid 5 rand. So the 5 rand he has saved, but that 5 rand that a person has saved is now haram. And that haram money is now mixed together with the halal money of a person. So what happens? Because of that little bit of haram, all the money that a person has all becomes contaminated. One says, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was also traveling. I think he had come down to Johannesburg airport from Umrah or wherever, and from there he had a connecting flight to Durban. So when he stopped at the airport, so he came to check in now at the domestic, the departures. So when he came to check in, so he was overweight, because many a time Saudi Airlines, they might allow you 30 kilos. But here, when you're traveling domestic, it's only 20 kilos. So perhaps he was a little overweight. So when they checked his baggage, it was overweight. So they told him, you have to pay an X amount of money. So Maulana said, you know what, people are always coming down from Johannesburg. So somebody will bring the bag down. There's no need now to pay that little bit extra over here. Rather keep it one side. So that person that was at the teller, he wanted a bribe at this time. So Maulana wasn't prepared to pay a bribe. So he said that leave it one side. And then it was a hot day. So he sat down and he opened a bottle of water and he drank it. So this person, looking at the character of this person, that year he wasn't prepared to pay a bribe. And secondly, when he sat down to have his water, then he sat on the floor and he drank his water. So he called Maulana one side and he said, that made me recite Kalima. So when a person is honest, when he is truthful, then this is the effect that a person is even prepared to bring Iman. Once in the Darul Islam, we had a query. So the query that came in, a Muslim person, he writes. So he was one person, I imagine just one person from this entire area that was so concerned. So he wrote a istiftah, a query, and he says, I'm owner of a factory in an industrial area. So he says, in this particular industrial area where we are trading, he says that all the factories that are here, they are stealing electricity. He says, if we have to pay the rate, what is the actual rate of electricity? He says that we won't survive. In this market, we won't survive because electricity is so expensive in this country. So he wants to know that, is it permissible for me also to now steal that electricity and to survive in my business? So obviously the answer is going to be no, that is not permissible for you. You will have to either change your profession, go into another profession, but you cannot cheat. So that so much of money is being saved, but that money is haram. And then that money is now mixed up with our halal money. So then we wonder that why on the occasion when Khatm Quran is taking place throughout the world, and we are making so much of du'as, why don't we see the consequence of our du'as? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was once traveling, and it was the Maghrib, it was the time of Maghrib Salah, and he was in Kufa. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he had to perform his Salah. But when he came to the masjid, then there was no one there to take care of the horse of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So one person, he was standing outside the masjid. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him, that look, you look after my horse, and I'm just going to perform my Maghrib Salah, I will come out just now. So he went into the masjid, and he performed the Maghrib Salah. When he came out, so Ali radiallahu ta'ala seen that this person is gone. And he has taken the saddle of the horse and the bridle. The saddle is also missing, the bridle is missing. And the horse is tied over there, or it's left over there, and this person is gone. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, I got to still travel, so let me go to the marketplace. I need to purchase a saddle, I need to purchase a bridle, and continue with my journey. So he went to the marketplace. So the person that was selling horse accessories, so he took out whatever accessories he had, and he told Ali radiallahu ta'ala that one person came now, and he just sold the saddle and the bridle to me for 7 dirhams. You are Amirul Mu'mineen, I'm not going to make any profit on you. I will sell it to you for exactly the same amount for 7 dirhams, I'll sell it to you. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala smiled. So this person, he looked at Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, that what is the reason, why did you smile, why are you smiling? So Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, the saddle and the bridle belong to me. That this person, I told him to take care of my horse. And he stole it and he brought it and he sold it to you. He says, when I was in the masjid performing salah, he says, I had this intention when I will come out, I got 7 dirhams in my pocket, I will give it to him as a hadiah for taking care of my horse. But he said he could not wait. So that 7 dirhams, which were now halal for a person, what he has done, he has made it haram upon himself. By just because he was hasty, because he couldn't wait a little bit, so he has made it haram upon himself. So a person, if the income of a person is contaminated, the income of a person is haram, then obviously the food that is going into the stomach of a person, this is also haram. Before Ramadan, Hazrat mentioned to us that a person in Ramadan, sometimes our income gets contaminated also. So he says that a person at that time, he should take a loan even. So that loan that he has taken, that money is pure. So when a person, the food that he's eating in Ramadan, that is also pure. that how particular a person should be of his income. This is the second advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Mawlana Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that one morsel of haram that goes into the stomach of a person. He says when a person makes ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what is the consequence and the result of this ibadat? He says noor is created in the heart. But he says that when that one morsel of haram enters into the stomach, he says that noor that a person had gathered through ibadat, whether it's tilawat of Quran, whether it is zikrullah, whether it is salah, he says immediately that noor, it is wiped out. Now darkness comes into the heart. When this darkness comes into the heart, he says the consequence of darkness is the desire to commit evil. And many a time person says that I desire to commit a lot of evil. These thoughts keep troubling me. So he says when the darkness comes in, now is a desire to commit evil. And he says when this desire comes in, now a person doesn't get the tawfiq to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it becomes very difficult for a person, even he wants to do amal, he wants to do good deeds. But it becomes very, very difficult for a person now to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah, when Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq, we'll continue from this point.